if they get help from our partners, they should absolutely give back. If anything, I would love for them to give before asking back. If you don't do that, the well dries extremely quickly, particularly true with agencies, but also with technology partnerships.
Welcome to SaaS Connect, the SaaS Partnership Podcast, brought to you by the Cloud Software Association. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com.
Thank you, everyone. So my name is Francois, as Rajiv just mentioned, and I want to talk about the real value of technology partnerships. In this room, we're all partnership people, which means we often work in very small teams, running against the wind, trying to convince people of the benefits of what we're doing. But we all strive to make an impact on organizations. And the beauty of tech partnerships is that it really allows us to do that in more than just one way. The value is in the integrations that improve our customers' lives. The value is in the joint positioning that facilitates their decision to buy. The value is in the confidence that our customers get, knowing that our platform will play nicely in their stack. And the value is in the learnings that they get from usage data for those integrations that help us build better products. And so we'll talk about my last two experiences at Typeform and Sendoso, mostly because they are very different organizations with very different takes on what partnerships mean. And I thought it was interesting to just share that. So chapter one is Typeform. It's a story of a company that's 100% or 99% at the time anyway, self-serve. Sendoso was, Typeform was built initially as a forms and solution platform by David Okuniev and Robert Munoz out of Barcelona. And they designed this running an agency for a bathroom manufacturer that needed an exit survey for their showroom. But at the time, they were also obsessed with the movie War Games. Remember that scene where Matthew Broderick is amazed that the computer talks back to him? That's the forms that they wanted to build. And that's the form that nobody at the time had built, which is weird because that's the way human people interact, right? We don't throw 20 questions at one time at people and expect them to answer all of them. So they built Typeform out of this. Typeform was, and again, I'm going to use this past year. I'm not trying to comment on the current state of things. It's just that my experience there was up until about a year ago, and I don't want to pretend that I know what's going on there now, was a 99% self-serve company when I joined. It was not even the case anymore when I left. And that's also another thing that was obsessive for David Okuniev. He was tired of agency world, and he wanted to build for customers and not for clients anymore. And so he built a product with no sales team, which is a good thing because they don't get in the way of partnerships, but it's a bad thing because you don't get to lean on them and you don't get to learn from them and their interactions with customers. We didn't have to worry about OEM partnerships. Rajiv, I agree with you. The worst kind of partnerships in terms of level of effort that we need to do. I've done that in my past. And it would be like 2 years for one partnership to take off. Not a problem for me at Typeform. Another thing, we were not necessarily obsessed with driving acquisition through partnerships because we didn't really have an acquisition problem. So what that means is we had to figure out how partnerships could help the organizations and what we could do to support the rest of the team. We started from one observation. If you're familiar with forms and survey solutions, we're usually the very first step of a customer workflow. It's not necessarily true with platforms like SurveyMonkey, for instance, that are more focused on the feedback analysis and so on. But for Typeform, we really are focused on helping our customers collect data. And so we formed the hypothesis that the value of the partnerships would be in making sense of that data and letting our customers move the data where they actually crunch it. And because we didn't want to build that ourselves, and we knew our customers actually were trying to make sense of the data, we had basic forms of that, we started looking at what they were asking for. We had feedback loops inside the product. We had voice of customer reports coming from our customer success team. We had tickets from support, so we knew pretty much what our customers were expecting of us to do. And so we first started building a CSV export capability, the most basic type of integrations you can think of, which is the manual integration. You let them export the data and integrate that with whatever they want, import it in Salesforce, MailChimp, what have you. Turns out what they were doing was uploading that into a spreadsheet platform. So we built our first integration with Google Sheets. It's not literally the first integration. We had like Google Analytics things and whatnot going on, but in terms of data workflow, that was the first one. And then we talked to our strategy team. We were nailing down our jobs to be done at the time, and we decided to latch on the lead capture use case, which was one of the most popular ones at Typeform. And so we built integrations with email marketing platforms. MailChimp was one of the first ones. HubSpot was the second one. So we build those integrations ourselves, and we started acquiring data. We're a product-led company, remember? So we see and we look at all the stuff that's happening on the product and the way our customers are using that. And we expected to measure some form of impact in terms of LTV, or whatever form of LTV, retention, expansion, you name it. We defined active usage for the platform, and this is coming from one very clear fact. We didn't want to stop at net new install of an integration or setting up of an integration. We really wanted to tie that to actual usage of the integration to be as close as possible to the actual value of the integration. And within 3 months, we were able to demonstrate a real impact on retention. Customers that were using one of the few integrations we already had built at the time were seeing an uplift in retention by around 33%. When we moved it to two integrations, we were closer to 50% uplift in retention. So we decided to expand the hypothesis. And that required a little bit of work on our side to build out the ecosystem and get more depth in the data that we're looking at. But within 2 years, we were able to prove a direct correlation between the number of integrations our customers were using and lifetime value. The more integrations, the higher the lifetime value. And so that secured some investment from our leadership. They saw the value of what we were doing, and they trusted us with building out the whole ecosystem. So we grew it. We focused on two main things. The first one is the integrations that are at the core of our customer experience, the things that they cannot live without. If they're doing lead capture, we need to integrate with the main email marketing platforms and CRM platforms. You get the idea. The second aspect of it was building out the platform so that we could start letting people come and build integrations with us. And we made that decision very early. We actually hired a developer advocate before we hired partnership people at Typeform. He's here in the room and he's going to talk later today, so you should stick around, I think, in the other room, because he knows what's up with developer advocacy. And we did this with developers in mind. Steve Ballmer, does everyone know what he's chanting here? If you don't, he's screaming out of his lungs, developers, 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 yeah! And he knew what's up, and we actually wanted to do the same thing, not with the same level of energy. We're a little bit more laid back, and we're not wearing shirts anymore. But we wanted developers to love us because they create a ton of value for our customers on their own time, on their own dime. We wanted to make it as easy as possible. And to do this, we built two things in parallel. First, the partner program. This is one of many prioritization frameworks for product people. Most of them involve a component around business value or potential of acquisition, usage, and so on, and a component of complexity and effort to build. This is one of them. Business value is on the y-axis. This is something that we drove with the actual partner program, what makes it enticing for us, what makes it valuable for partners to build with Typeform. The x-axis is complexity, and we worked on reducing that as much as possible. We wanted to own the quick wins quadrant of all of our partners exploring potential partnership with us. So how do we do that? First, we know what's a good developer experience because we are building integrations ourselves at the time. So we know what to do, what not to do. And we want to make it as friendly and fun as possible. We also want to make it as enticing as possible. So we tell them we're going to commit marketing resources to promote their integration. We built an integration directory. We promoted integrations on our website. We built case studies. We started doing some of those things. We leaned on our brand and reputation. Typeform is very popular in the marketplace. And so we knew that it was an asset and people coming to us would be interested in tapping into that resource. And finally, we decided to offer usage data to our partners about their integration quickly. So they knew what was working, what was not working, whether their integration was a popular one or not, just to give them the minimum level of feedback. And it worked wonders. When I joined Typeform, we had about 5 or 6 integrations. When I left 2.5 years later, with the help of Kabir and Nico, we had about 80 integrations, of which we only built 20-ish, meaning bringing partners in really was efficient and really was driving value for our customers. And for that matter, big partners were also showing up to our door. Like, we didn't do this just for smaller partners to spend their time and resources building those integrations. We had brand names like Monday.com and ActiveCampaign, who actually built both of them their very first integration with Typeform. And when you ask them the reason they did this and they chose Typeform first is the business value for once, but most importantly, because we were the easiest to build with. So we succeeded in doing that. couple of lessons from those years. First, it's important to define together what we will measure. And by together, we mean all the teams that we're going to lean on, because we're committing marketing resources to our partners. We need to make sure that marketing people know why they're doing this. So we want to align on metrics that also serves their business goals. And we did that across the board. It was not enough to have a leadership team buy-in. We also wanted to make sure that everybody in the team was knowing why they were doing this and why they would support us. Secondly, keep your eyes open. There were some unexpected wins in there that we didn't really build for, that we didn't really care for initially. A good example of that, has anyone ever had HubSpot or Zapier blog about you, reference you in their top 20 list of best apps in 2019 or something like that? If you do, you know what's up. It's massive in terms of inbound traffic. So we started looking at that. Again, product-led growth company, we have data tracking everywhere. We knew what kind of traffic we were getting through the website and all of those Zapier and HubSpot UTM loaded links. We knew that building those integrations was very helpful for us. So we lean into that. Finally, vocabulary matters. Words are ever so important in defining a strategy with execs. A good example of that, we were building an integration ecosystem. The public outlet of that was the integration directory, which we called Marketplace. And I'm sure a lot of you would say, yeah, fair enough, it's a marketplace. Well, when your CEO comes from the gaming industry and the ad tech world, for him, partnerships mean distribution, and marketplace means instant monetization. So where is the dough and where are my leads? It took a couple of months to actually fix that conversation. It almost derailed the whole strategy. So I'm not going to get caught in ambiguous vocabulary anymore. Moving on to Sendoso, chapter 2 of this conversation. What's very interesting is Sendoso is a completely different organization. It's led by salespeople. It's built around the sales process. The marketing team serves the sales team. Sendoso is the story of Chris Rudegrab on the left and Braden Young on the right, and the story of Beer Money. Chris was a rep at Talkdesk at the time, and he found his way into the swag group. He figured out that if he was stealing a bunch of hats and t-shirts and sending them to his prospects that were reluctant to book the demo or sign that damn deal, he would get a tremendous success and it would accelerate and build his own personal success within the company. It pissed off his marketing team. They were at him because he was wasting those precious swag items that were reserved for events. On top of that, execution was a nightmare between boxing things up on his own time, running to the post office, tracking the benefits of sending something to someone. It was really a nightmare, but it really worked for him. So he dreamt of a better way of doing this, and he spent $5,000 on Upwork to hire some guy to build a Chrome extension that would send coffee e-gifts on top of Salesforce for his prospects, called Coffee Sender for Salesforce, the ancestor of Sendoso. And he did this for Beer Money again. Between 10 and 20 of those sends a day would make him enough to go out on a night and get a couple of beers with his buddies on weekends for free-ish. The trouble, though, is he teamed up with Braden, who's an insane salesperson, who started selling that thing full-time, quit his job. Chris freaked out, told him, no, 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 don't do this, it's Beer Money. But Braden didn't listen, persisted, and started selling that to companies like Facebook and such. So it worked. Today, Sendoso is sending millions of items to our customers' contacts a year, and everybody is talked about using that kind of product to really reinforce building deep relationships with their customers, prospects, employees, you name it, partners for that matter. For me, joining Sendoso meant going back to a sales-led organization like I had in my past, but one that was doing serious work with partnerships. And it's closer to what you would hear Alan Adler and Jim McBain talk about, which is the ecosystem and the bubble of influence and things like that. This is really the approach that Sendoso had adopted around partnerships. We were able to do this because we had built strong co-marketing habits. Our marketing team was on point. Our field marketing still runs to this day more than 50% of their events with a partner. Either we bring a partner into our own events or we piggyback on our partner's events, but more than 50% of those webinars and different talks that we do all the time are involving a partner. We developed proven co-selling playbooks that really baked in the partnerships in our sales culture. And shout out to Brian, who set this up before me, my predecessor. We have excellent influence tracking in Salesforce. It's not advertised enough in the company, and that really is the only grudge I have with this. Lesson one at Sendoso. Working on the ecosystem gives us tremendous freedom to venture out of the format that the whole company is following and the focus points that make part of the biggest strategy items in the company. We can explore and we can experiment. We are allowed to do that because we're, after all, a small team. We're not consuming a lot of resources. If we can bring in the right partner that builds that integration that will target that one persona that the rest of the company cannot afford to spend any bandwidth on, we're actually helping the company at very low cost. To do this, we need to nail the partner program to really bring in our partners. And this is something that I learned at Typeform. We absolutely also make things easier for our own product and engineering teams to innovate because we focus on building a stronger API and promoting it internally. When I joined Sendoso, we had a public API. We had one partner that had built an integration. Our own teams didn't even know we had that API. So we got to work on promoting it. Our own team started using it on hackathons and things like that and started creating awesome projects that are going to make it to the roadmap. Lesson two, co-selling, when enabled by co-marketing, emphasize that last point, absolutely works. This is something that I wished I knew when I was at Typeform, but I'm glad I know now. In terms of numbers, north of 35% of the deals that we close are related to partner influence in one way or another. And that compares to about 15% of the total pipeline that has partners involved, which means opportunities that involve a partner close at a higher rate. We attribute about 15% of our pipeline to partners in one form or another. Again, attribution is kind of rocket science. My CMO and I still go at it and fight with each other on what that really means for us. But if you try to stay cool about it and look at whether you actually generated a net new opportunity that you are the absolute lead source for, or whether you actually moved an old opportunity from dead stage to qualified because a partner brought you up in a conversation, that's the kind of stuff that we attribute ourselves, 15%. More importantly, the deal size increases radically when a partner is attached to a deal. And for us, it's between 250 and 350% on a good quarter. And if you tell the sales rep that, they will wait in line to get your help and find a partner because they will hit quota faster. And because we need to work with our sales team, we need to show them those numbers. We need to be voices internally. We need to tell them all the time that such and such had great success closing that deal because Sixth Sense, Outreach, Salesforce, whoever helped by either promoting Sendoso to our prospect or strategizing together or even connecting our AEs with the other side's AM to actually get access to some contact in the account. We need to make it as easy as possible for them. Sales reps don't have any bandwidth to waste. They're chasing numbers, so you need to facilitate their life as much as possible. Companies like Crossbeam and Reveal have made that easy with awesome Salesforce widgets and Slack apps, but we still need to sit down with them and do the work together, make the introductions to the partner, bring them into the shared Slack channels, and so on. We want to bake partnerships into their workflows. And we try to do that by really making partnerships top of mind at everything they do. So when they open Salesforce, they have that Crossbeam or Reveal widget in their face. And we actually have both. So I'm not trying to be agnostic and promoting everyone. We use both. We also want to make partners' questions part of the workflow to move from one stage to another so that they always have to think partnerships. It doesn't replace helping them manually, but slowly but surely we're getting there. And finally, we need them to make partnerships reciprocal. If they get help from our partners, they should absolutely give back. If anything, I would love for them to give before asking back. If you don't do that, the well dries extremely quickly, particularly true with agencies, but also with technology partnerships. This one is my favorite. Integrations, ecosystems really build the moat. And I'm not the one to tell you that for the first time, I'm sure, but it absolutely works. Integrations are more than a channel. This is something that's quite new for Sendoso, but that I was very familiar with at Typeform. So I worked on evangelizing the exec team to adopt that mindset that building integrations actually drive retention. It requires us to understand our ICP well so that we can build the right stuff for them. But when we start getting the ball rolling, we also learn a ton from the usage to refine our ICP. So it really helps the strategy team as well. On top of that, obviously, it improves our customers' experience. It makes their lives easier as a customer. We remove any friction through integrations. If you don't have a great UX, fine. Build that somewhere else. Build that in Slack. Build that in their CRM. Make it easier for them. And finally, we need to socialize the impact of those aspects of partnerships the same way we socialize the sales numbers and the pipeline numbers earlier, because we need the product team and we need the engineering team to absolutely embrace that mindset as well. Co-marketing gives partnership superpower, and partners give marketing teams superpower. It creates new stories. It gives customer context of Sendoso or whatever your tool is inside the stack of your customers. It helps you position your product, especially for a field like Sendoso, which is fairly new. Remember, Sendoso was created in 2016, so it's just 5.5 years old, minus the coffee sender period. So gifting and sending as part of your marketing and sales outreach workflows is still a new thing. So positioning that in the ecosystem through relentless co-marketing with your partners really helps your customers figure out what you're talking about when you bring the topic to them. And finally, obviously, it expands the reach. All of our marketing efforts are not just organically targeted at our own audience. We also lean on our partners' audience. So over the last couple of years, I've really spent a lot of time learning and advocating for integration platforms. I actually was able to demonstrate to my C-suite the impact of partnerships beyond the channel. Integrations drive lifetime value. Integrations absolutely drive pipeline. Integrations also give marketing teams tools to get richer and better at what they do. So I will continue asking myself, what can I do with my partners today to help my customers' experience improve? And how I'm going to make my partners more successful with this? How is it going to make my own team and my personal career more successful because of that?
Wow. That's an amazing, two contrasting stories, right? So where we saw where a company was led with pure product-led sales motion and how integrations help there, and Sendoso with a pure sales led motion, how integrations and partnerships are really helping them grow. Questions? I know there's a lot.
So I'm really curious on how you got marketing to buy into the story, because I think that, at least in Unanet's experience, marketing has been the hardest to sell on the idea about bringing technology partners, especially into the story about how we improve customer workflows by working together. Resellers and implementation partners, what they bring to the table seems to be easy because it's an easy hook for marketing. So I'm just wondering how you sold marketing on the co-marketing angle and bringing technology partners more into your Sendoso's story. By the way, we use Sendoso. We think it's wonderful.
Thank you. So at Typeform, it was actually pretty easy. You just show what the HubSpot and the Zapier links bring in terms of leads. And they're like, all right, I should be involved with this. I should drive the messaging. I should work with HubSpot and Zapier to plug the right keywords in that conversation. So you show them the value of it. You actually grind yourself and do it personally. And then they will show up because they will see the impact of that. At Sendoso, partnerships were part of the culture because the company was built, remember, around that Salesforce widget for Coffee Sender. So we had that culture of partnerships baked into the company. That said, the team that preceded me actually built that practice as well. When I joined, I was actually amazed to see that marketing team would reach out to me saying, can you speak at that event? Can that partner show up? Can you co-sponsor this? Can we offer to sponsor the Gong conference, the HubSpot conference, and so on? Whereas at Typeform, I had to drag them into those calls. Again, that the Sendoso part was pretty much all cooked when I joined, so I didn't have to do much on that. We see the value of that, and we see the value of expanding our market by talking to companies that work with us. The product marketing aspect of it, though, is still a little bit underbaked, and we're trying to improve that because the joint case studies or having integrations mentioned in every case study really helps our customers or prospect understand what we're doing rather than being sending platform on its own.
Thank you so much. This is so interesting. So my question is, you had mentioned a co-selling playbook for partners. I think that's really interesting. Can you tell us some more about what's in there?
Yeah. So there's not one thing here. It probably morphs around each and every individual partner, but there are a couple of things that we do systematically. First of all, we do account mapping with one of the platforms that I mentioned earlier to understand how much customers we have in common, how much prospects we have that are their customers, and so on. And we try to teach our own teams to use that as a resource. If you're working an opportunity with company A, look at Crossbeam, look at Reveal, figure out whether there's a partner that you can tap the shoulder of and learn more about the account, or even have them whisper in the ear of the customer for you. That's part one. In terms of implementing, we set up Slack channels with all of our partners, almost all of our partners. In that Slack channel, what we do is we pin Google Doc that we work on with my counterparts on the other side of the table. So I will have my partner give some pointers about how to position their products so that our RAE, when they look at that, they know exactly what to use and they just copy paste and send that in an email. SDRs do that very well as well. we plug in links to case studies and so on that mention the partner so that they have that toolbox. On top of that, we sometimes run specific programs to SPIF partners. It's hard to compensate them financially, but we're a sending platform, so we gift our partners. Every time we get help from a partner, it's like an unofficial thing. We give them something so they know that we're good for it and that it's a pleasant experience to actually help a Sendoso rep. But it really comes down to good salesmanship and building relationship with the partners. The hardest part is dragging the salespeople into those conversations, really.
We have time for one more question.
We also use Sendoso and love it. But I did want to ask you, you said you try to get your sales teams to really think about partners as they're going through, I guess, like Salesforce and whatever else, as they're moving an opportunity along forward. How do you guys do that? I definitely want to get our sales team thinking about partners as well and thinking about which partners can help influence deals. I know you mentioned you use Crossbeam, but beyond that, how else?
So we try to be as knowledgeable as possible internally about our partners so that Crossbeam is one starting point for a conversation, but then they come to me and say, hey, this customer potentially is already a customer of partner A, partner B, partner C, which one is the best fit for us? And depending on the use case, we can route them to that because not all sales rep necessarily understand what each partner does. So if we're selling to a marketing customer, we'll look at ABM platforms or marketing automation platforms that are in our ecosystem. If we're selling to the sales buyer, and that's the sales team coming to me, giving me that information, and I will probably direct them to a sales engagement or a CRM partner of ours. So we try to be as knowledgeable as possible. And then it really is just about trying to relentlessly explain to them that they're doing this for themselves personally. Like they are individually going to be more successful doing this. So it's about promoting those numbers that I was talking about, using the successful sales rep as champions to have them tell their own stories, which is way more efficient than me doing it, for instance.
If you like this and want more great insights on software partnerships, you've got to rate, like, and subscribe, and join us at thecloudsoftwareassociation.com. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com. We'll see you on the next episode.